All right, you may be seated for just a moment. I'm going to readjust my mic. Okay. So, what we've done in times past, we're going to do that again. We have a little slight deviation from it. But what we would like to do first off is acknowledge those in this congregation. So, Patrick, if you would come up. Miss Sherry, if you'll come up for Harold. Mr. Keith. And I'm already up here. I'm already here. But where'd my card go? I don't need to hand these out. But Keith, I will hand you that one. You know, we take a lot for granted. I know I did. I didn't know anything about what it cost for this country to be free. Served 4 years. I didn't serve during in a conflict, but there are still, we don't realize, we did win a Cold War. Those numbers drove the Russians bankrupt. Don't tell me God's not on our side. But we've had a whole new generation rise up. They volunteered to go to the sandbox. That's what it's gloriously called. And, you know, many of these guys, they were drafted. They didn't get the choice. I know, Pat, you did enlist just before, though. He's like, well, if I'm going to go, I might as well go on my own accord. You know, I know people that have done that, but it really is something that is lost if we do not share it, if we do not honor it. The Bible tells us to give honor to whom honor is due. Well, I don't care what sports figure got saved. I don't care what singer got saved. I bless him. Just so y'all know, I'm not against Kanye. I pray that God's hand be upon him, and let's just pray for him. Because if he's into something he ain't supposed to be yet, you don't want to be trying to do what he's doing and not be ready. Y'all been Christian long enough, right? It hurts sometimes, and yet you've only been saved a couple months and people attack. So pray for him. Don't judge him. Besides that, I've heard people arguing, well, you know, they can't be forgiven of their past. He did too many things. Well, then why are you here? Sorry. But anyhow, you know, but in this country, it wasn't a politician that gave you freedom. It wasn't an educator that gave you freedom unless they served. That's who did it. And, you know, we are free in Christ. We're free in this country because of men and women who have stood up and said, no, not on my watch. You know, no matter what we did or did not do, we had a purpose. People were afraid to attack us. There has not been an attack on our country other than a cowardly terrorist attack. That's been it. No nation has said, we're going to take you out since World War II. And that didn't end well for them. So we would like to honor our veterans. And what we're going to do for these four guys, well, me included, is I'm going to take you guys to lunch. So pass that on to Harold. It's in the thing. I'm going to take you guys out to lunch. I know you still work part-time. You let us know because Pat, I know, is retired. Yeah, Pat's open. If he ain't in a tree stand, I know where Pat's at. And Harold's open, so and I'm flexible. So we'll get with you, and I'll take you guys out to lunch. And when I say lunch, I mean we're going to lunch. We're not going to McDonald's. But anyhow, it's just a great thing to be able to do that. And, you know, I've told people, and I know these guys, if Harold were here, they can tell you they were never thanked. I wasn't thanked. that attitude carried on. It was not until this latest generation that people finally got it through their heads. It's a sacrifice. Now, you know, well, whatever. I'm going to just stop right there. But I just wanted to say thank you. You know, you guys were before me. You're the generation that led the way. And, you know, the generation that was dishonored by an ungrateful country. And I'm here to say I'm grateful. They're grateful. So thank you. All right. So now, the next thing we have, we only have so many cards. We have 11. 11 cards. 11 on the 11th, Veterans Day. Inside this card is a gift for a veteran. It is sealed. If you'd like to write something on the back of the envelope or somewhere, thank you from you, whatever. But we only have 11 of them. And but you find a veteran, you might be in a store. I'm going to promise you right now, most veterans are not hard to find, especially if they're Marine veterans. I mean, they're like a stinking cult. They plaster Eagle, Globe, and Anchor on everything. But anyhow, it doesn't matter what branch they served in. They all had their job. We, you know, in the branch, in the service, we rib on each other. We bash on each other. We make up names for their acronyms of their branch. You name it. Muscles are not required. Are required. Intelligence not expected. That's Marine. Army ain't ready for Marines yet. I just had to do that. You know, so we pick on each other. But in the end, we've got each other's back. There's no, it's sibling rivalry is all it is, and it usually is pretty benign. So, but what we'd like to do is bless. We send this out with you, you'll be able to give it to somebody. Now, I'm going to ask this, everybody except for the four, if you would like to give one of these out, I've got 11. It's first come, first served. You get one. I want you to find a veteran and give it to them and say thank you. They don't have to be old. They don't have to be young. But like I said, they could be sitting in the restaurant already. Most of them will have their World War II, Vietnam, Korea, Purple Heart, whatever. They'll usually have a hat. I didn't wear mine today. I thought about wearing something Marine Corps, since today is the Marine Corps' birthday, as well as Grayson's. And but anyhow, so if you want one to give out, get up. I'm not walking to you. Six, seven, eight. I got a dose more. Got one here. All right. Who's coming to get it? All right. All right. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So at this time, junior church is dismissed. You can go, Grayson. I always love you. Can I go yet? Can I go? And he's always just raring to go. They're going to be packing. I know they're going to be doing some box packing. Don't forget OCC this week as you're getting stuff around. Got a lot of stuff getting ready to happen here in a real short time. So today, I'm only going to preach what I can handle, which might be good for you. We've been in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, I don't remember if I finished up with the last verse. So what I would like to do is, and it's not going to come up overhead, but 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, "Now abide faith, hope, and love. these three, but the greatest of these is love. We know this saying, don't we? Anytime you go into a hobby store, you find the paintings on the walls. You find the shirts, you find the stickers, you find the posters. They all say it. Does anybody know what it means? Well, here, let me help you out. The virtues of faith, hope, and love are necessary in this age. But in the age to come, faith will give way to sight. And hope will turn into experience. But love alone is eternal. See, God is love. We know that. Love is of God because God is love. You won't have to believe for anything anymore. You won't have to trust God that he's leading you somewhere because you're going to be surrounded in his presence all the time. You're going to walk with God. Do you understand? The next age to come is going to be what this age was supposed to be. Except there will no longer be any sin. No option. It's not an option. You can't sin. You couldn't sin if you tried. And so, love is the only thing that is going to hold up. It's going to stand because it's eternal. Now, if you've been following along here, you know that we skipped the middle of this passage of 1 Corinthians. The synopsis of verses 1 through 3 goes as this. Even though I can speak in tongues, prophesy, give my life, if done for any reason other than love, I am nothing. I don't care who you think you are. I don't care if you have the biggest church or smallest church. I don't care if you witness to 50 people a day or 50 people in your lifetime. If you did not do it out of love, you ain't squat. You don't matter. You following? If we do it with any other reason than love, because I love them, then it's a moot point. If I give prophecies in tongues and they don't understand it, what good is it for them? Oh, but don't you understand what God just told you? No. Paul addressed this, but I grew up in charismatic churches, and many of them seem to miss this passage. It's got to be interpreted. Otherwise, the guy that doesn't know that language. If I come in here and I say, "Ohio Gazimus," can anybody reply back? That just means good morning. Yeah. The first thing I learned in Japan, "Ohio Gazimus." You want to know why? Because it said Ohio in it. That was it. I never learned to say no, which was not a good idea. That's the second word you should know. EA. But if you speak in a language that somebody else doesn't know, they're lost. They don't understand what you're saying. And I know sometimes there might be things that I talk about that you're like, "I don't get it, Pastor. You're talking about the military. I'm not in the military." Well, just so you know, I'm a Marine, and we are the lowest of the low as far as intelligence. I'm not kidding. We often said that our IQs were rocks. We'd go out in the parking lot and pick up our ID card, and I've said that to a few Marines and got it said to me. It's a vicious cycle. Go out in the parking lot and get your ID card. But the reason I bring that up is because we were taught to keep it simple. We don't need to understand the quantum physics of how a ballistic missile finds its target. All we care about is one shot, one kill, no loss. We win. That's all we care about. So we kept it simpler than all the other stuff. Now, it's not saying that we're any better than anybody else, even though, if you've been around me long enough... This is a good day to do that. But the word for love, again, is agape. This is not a word that was used in any of their literature. They had a word for it, but they didn't know it. Remember Paul, he says, I want to talk to you about this God, this unknown God. He was in the Acropolis. They had statues all around. And on this podium over here, they had nothing. And it said, to the unknown God. They knew he was there, but they didn't know how to talk about him. They didn't know how to describe him. They only knew he was there. They knew there was a love they couldn't really explain. Until Christ came. Now, let me get back into 1 Corinthians. Again, this isn't going to come up, but I'm going to read starting in verse 4. It said, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not think its own, it is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now, we're going to look at love suffers long. This is what I want to look at today. Suffers long. The word is macrothumia. Macros, meaning big, long. Thumia, thymia, passion. Long passion. A person who possesses this attribute will never lose their patience with a fellow human being. Will never give up hope. And if at any time they are unwise, unloved, or at any time, if they are unwise, unloved, or uneducated, if dark, incomprehensible events come upon him, he will not be broken, will never lose hope and faith. Now, you can say, well, Pastor, I took, and then I broke. You're growing. The first thing you need to understand is, quit condemning yourself. When you condemn yourself, you are attaching chains. It's no different than being arrested. Right now, in the moment, I'm on a law and order kick. And these people that think they're above the law, and they come in and they arrest them in front of their peers. They took their freedom away. That is what condemning does to you. When you condemn yourself in that, it's not saying you're not, you got to judge yourself. I messed up. There's the first step. I messed up. Now, a lot of preachers today will get, well, you know, we need to just get back and get back to the Old Testament way of speaking. We don't live 2,500 years ago. We are living now. We have words that they had no idea what it would mean. But we cannot condemn ourselves in our shortcomings. But what we do have to do is we repent. That's first. We identify, I messed up, I repent. It means to go back and try to fix it, what you can. Sometimes we all know when you mess up, sometimes you can't fix it, right? It requires God to fix it. And God will, as long as you are truly repented. If you're going to do it every day, if you're going to keep saying, well, God, I don't really care what you think, and you're going to keep hurting people, he's probably going to let you get smacked. You know, I've always let my boys, they'll get just a little, I don't know about girls, but boys I do know. And my boys, especially the older they got, they started feeling froggy. And this is what my dad always told me. He said, well, Kermit, when you feel froggy enough, jump. One day I did. I jumped him in the kitchen. He flipped around, flipped me up onto, and I ended up on top of the countertop. My butt was on the countertop. My head was on the floor. And both of us got in trouble for Mom. But in the end, we all like to push it. We want to push. We want to just keep pushing it a little bit. And we do that with God. And eventually God's going to say, go ahead. I'm right here. Now, I never tried to jump him again because he always wore a metal banded watch. And that's why I always let go. He'd reach around and pull his arm across there, not meaning to, but boy, it would dig into the flesh and you'd let go real quick. But if you have patience in times that are trying, this is where you get your strength. You get it from God. This is an attribute. This is the attribute. David said that God is slow to anger. That's what this means. Do you understand? Slow to anger. It doesn't mean you don't get angry. The Bible tells us to be angry and sin not. But Paul told Timothy, he said, do not promote one who is quick to anger because he has no patience. It takes patience dealing with people. Mature people finally realize this, and I'm hoping I'm getting there, but to learn to have patience with people, well, I just can't stand that person. It's a personality conflict. Do you think everybody thinks you're just sunshine and butterflies? I know not everybody likes me. I don't care either. Because my identity doesn't come from what somebody else thinks about me. And you can thank the Marine Corps for that. You need to get that same mentality in you that says my identity doesn't come from what you think about me. My identity comes from God above. I am not what I've done. I am what I've overcome. And when we continue to keep going back to that stuff and letting it pull us in and bait us and beat us down and chain us, we don't get anywhere. This attribute of patience means long suffering, long endurance, long passion. Passion is something that is lost. Why? Because we got shows like Friends. There's no passion on there. It's all lust. It's been a funny show. I will give you that. But what did it do? It taught a world that you cannot find true love unless you've slept with them 10 times. That's not love. It doesn't require love to have sex with somebody. That's just one of the many shows. There's dozens of them. At the first date, boom. Well, Pastor, times have changed. No, they haven't that much. Nothing has changed that much since the 40s. And even before that, from what I have been learning thanks to history. It's amazing what you can learn on the History Channel. There's nothing new. It was going on in David's time. David's little affair wasn't really anything spectacular, except he betrayed his best friend and had him killed just to save his own butt. This word was hardly ever used in classical Greek writing until it entered Christian vocabulary. Hardly ever used. Like I said, there were words they had, but they really couldn't put a real description on. So they made up what they could, but it was so far beyond their comprehension or their abilities because Christ had not come. We would not have the capability of this without receiving Christ, because by receiving Christ, we receive God's love into our life. Just so you know, you can have 10 times the relationship David ever had with God, or Moses, or Abraham. None of them, Jesus said, they all lived to see the day you're in. And he said, but here's something even greater. You need to understand, folks, I got one who's even greater than me. I got to go so he can come. The Holy Spirit, God's manifested power, God's manifested love to live within us. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, we have nothing. I've told you this from the inception of this church. The Holy Spirit was not sent to make us goofy. We do that on our own. Oh, that was the Holy Spirit that knocked him down. Well, let's see. His head was... You pushed his head back that far and kept walking until he fell. I'm sorry. I've been in those lines. Tired of fake Christians. If you've ever noticed, I will not. I lay my hands on top of your head like this. If I put my hand right here, I got to be careful. She's been really nice to me for 4 weeks. Long suffering, yes. But this is the quality of a person who is able to avenge himself, yet refrains from doing so. How many times did they come after Jesus? Do you think he wasn't capable of defending himself? What did Peter seriously think? Him and Simon with their swords, they were going to jump out and take on the entire guard? Seriously? One of you is a fisherman, the other one's a terrorist. The terrorist might stand a chance, but the fisherman didn't because he couldn't hit the guy's head. Macrothumia is also can be patience in events, things going on in your life. Now, I'm going to mention a reference here. Anybody heard of the Maccabees? The book of the Maccabees. Let me tell you a little bit about it real quick so people don't go, he's gone heretical. The book of Maccabees is a historical writing of the Jews. It is not scripture. It is history. By the way, it explains how Israel became subject to Rome. They didn't have to come in and take over. They asked them to. They needed help against their enemies. They didn't go to God. They went to Rome. And next thing you know, boom, they're under Roman rule. And it took a while, don't get me wrong. This was when Rome was actually still what it was supposed to be. You learned a little bit last week about that. But in 1 Maccabees 8:4, it talks about Rome's success due to cleverness and persistence. The word persistence is macrothumia. In Rome's view, peace was never caused by the loss of war. Rome had the stamina not to lose the war despite the loss of a battle or a campaign. It was said that the ability of an army to strike is demonstrated by how its soldiers fight when they are tired and hungry. That's called discipline, for starters, ladies and gentlemen. That is the very definition of the word discipline. That no matter how tired you are, no matter how hungry you are, you fight. You continue on. In boot camp, we did some sleep deprivation. I was in a weird time. The group called Mothers of America was always picketing and protesting. And, well, we can't let them go out and be men. We need them to be little Boy Scouts. We're going to go out and kill. You need to understand what our job is. But, so they had... Now, just so you know, they did mess with us at night. They weren't supposed to, but they did. They turned the lights off, and you never knew where a drill instructor might be hiding. But today, shortly after I got out of boot camp, they changed the whole cycle, and now they do what they call a crucible. It's 48 hours, and I want to say it's, I don't know if it's 25 miles. There's a large forced march in it. We called it a hump. And they had to do that. They got 2 hours of sleep in 48 hours. They had obstacles they had to climb. They had obstacles they had to cover. But they had to work as a team. And sleep deprived, they stunk. They were hungry. They got one MRE for those 2 days. You're putting forth... You know, you're taking in 2,000 calories with one MRE, but you're putting forth 10,000 in effort. So you're constantly burning. So the Marine Corps decided to start burning and putting our troops through sleep deprivation. Oh, that's just inhumane. Well, I can promise you what the Taliban was doing was even more inhumane. So let's keep in mind, we need to build our troops up. I was called everything but a white boy in boot camp. I'm okay. I'm not a little piece of china that broke under a little bit of stress. So what? Oh, I got hit. Macrothumia is the spirit that will never accept or allow defeat. It will not give up. It is long suffering, long enduring. It will keep fighting and fighting and fighting. It will continue what it's supposed to do. That is the spirit of God. God does not give up on us. I'm not going to get into the essence of that. That'll be another point. Patience with people. It does not give hope on people. It does not give up hope. We give up, right? We give up on people. I'm going to tell you, sometimes there is a time we have to step aside. We have to step away from the situation. But you can never, ever, ever give up hope that God is going to do what he said he would do. You need to pray. You need to stand. I know a lot of people, they give up on their adult children. Don't look at that child as an adult. Look at that child as a two-year-old and tell me you're giving up. We forget that. The church became so insensitive. And I'm not talking about, oh, I'm so sensitive now. I'm talking about that we forgot what it was like to be a father. The Bible says in the parable of the prodigal son that the father looked daily. He never gave up hope. He knew what his boy was doing. Why else would he ask for his part of the inheritance and then leave town? Because he knew what he was going to do would be embarrassing. But he never gave up hope. That is God. He never gave up hope on us. So why are we giving up hope on people? Pray for them. Pray for those who spitefully use you. That means they know what they're doing. That's the hard one to do, isn't it? Do you mean you orchestrated this whole conglomeration against me and now I'm supposed to pray for you? Absolutely. If you're a Christian, absolutely. In the Old Testament writers, macrothumia in Proverbs 19:11 is the basis of forgiveness. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. We need to be slow cookers. We don't need to be volcanoes either. Well, I ain't got no anger. That's what I used to believe. I don't have an anger problem. I was a stinking volcano. I took it and I buried it deep. I kept taking it and burying it deep. Oh, yeah? Well, I'll just bury that right here. And look at how mighty I am. I am so powerful. And then the slightest thing, I took as much as I could take. And I blew my top. Couldn't hold any more pressure. And I'd start the process all over. We have to realize we have to overlook transgressions. That means I don't see it anymore. That's hard to do, isn't it? I'm not going to sit here and say it's easy. It's hard to overlook the transgressions of people. There you go. We got to pray. That's how you wrestle with those spirits. That's how you wrestle with that stuff. You pray. Get to know your Father. That's why people can't forgive. They don't know God. All those people writing that stuff about Kanye don't know God. One person said he's committed blasphemy. And I'm pretty much staying out of this, but as I read down through there, I was like, what did he do? And I didn't know anything about this Yeezy stuff and his book he wrote, but neither do I care because I've heard preachers do the same garbage. Well, this is my revelation. If you quote one scripture, it is not your revelation. Oh, by the way, if the Holy Spirit inspired it, it is not your revelation. just so you know, brother. But one person got down there and said, no, you have it wrong. There is only one sin that is unforgivable, and it's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And essentially what that is giving demonic forces credit for the acts of the Holy Spirit, the movements, the power of God. Well, that's demonic. Person got healed. Person's in praying in tongues. No, that's not demonic. That is God. They said Jesus cast out demons by the power of the devil. He said, how can this be? How can it be? This was people that knew better. How can it be? And the people on this little thing were arguing over this. I don't care. If he's leading people to the Lord, praise God. That's all I can say. Alice Cooper got saved. Pat Boone took a black eye because he decided he was going to hang out with somebody and got him saved. Do you know who Alice Cooper can get to? Do you know that the world that Alice Cooper can work in? And by the way, he hasn't given up his salvation. He still does his macabre show. Maybe a little more macabre for me, but hey, I mean, come on, I've been in some churches. I've seen some of their plays they do. What's the difference between Alice Cooper and what you did Sunday morning? But he can talk to people like Marilyn Manson, Slayer. He can do it. You can't. Do you know why Pat Boone was able to talk to him? Because Pat threw away his religious garbage and loved him. See, we won't talk to somebody because, well, they got tattoos. Look at all the tattoos on their head. Honestly, I can't think of a more painful tattoo. But the rings in their nose, they got the ring going from here to here. That's just demonic manifestations. No, a demonic manifestation is a whole lot different. And I promise you, you would be filling your britches. The truth of the matter is, it's because we do not love the way God loves. And here's how we're supposed to start loving, is long patience, long suffering, long compassion. Jesus had compassion on the crowds. That is why he was able to do things. Somebody pointed out something that Jesus was all the time having dinner with the sinners. When was the last time you went without somebody who was not of your faith? Well, we just don't believe the same. I can't associate with you. You are a bigot, sir. That is the definition of a bigot. Just so you know. And it's not to be found in the church. But yet it is. Well, we don't need to associate with them people. So the guy that changes your tires, he casts out devils and stuff too. Oh, by the way, he cast out the demons in your tires. I've heard goofy crap like that. Your car is not possessed. Christine is made up. Yes. Now, there's been a few cars. One in particular, I wasn't for sure it wasn't possessed. But we do that because, well, we don't want to associate with it. What would people think? You know, if I give that guy my business, how about the fact that that man can now feed his children because you gave compassion and took your car to him to work on? He was a good mechanic, but because he's covered in tattoos and got purple hair, you didn't like him. You didn't like the music he listened to. You won't like the music I listen to. Some of you might. Most of you won't. Well, Pastor, I think you just need to get saved yourself. I think you just need a demon cast out of you. We are in such a world where that is what is okay. Well, it's okay that I don't associate with them. Listen, they're not my best friends. They're my associates, my friends on the outer fringe. Jesus still kept the 12 close by. And even one of them, as the Statler brothers put it, was a demon. So, who do you think you are? Well, I can't be seen. You know, after all, I've got a reputation to uphold. I don't care what reputation you think you got. What's going on outside there is totally different. I remember as a teen in the church, I don't even know if I said this, one woman said something to me about driving. Now, just so you know, I never got my first ticket until I was on my way to Japan, and it was in her car, and it was later proven that the speedometer was off. Not a big deal. It kind of stunk. I'm like, seriously? That's all the money I got. I was a private. You need to understand, privates don't make squat. I barely had enough money to take care of the stuff I had to take care of. If it weren't for the fact they were feeding me for free, and I slept in condemned buildings, and that's not a joke. But this woman said, I heard about your driving. What did you hear? She couldn't tell me anything, and she would not tell me where her source was from. Let me tell you about my driving. My dad took me to Columbus to teach me to drive. I was 16 years old driving trucks in Columbus. A lot of people won't drive in Columbus now in their little car. And I'm driving 70 miles an hour down there in a company truck, which, by the way, we later learned I actually did not have a legal permit. I didn't take the test. That was unbeknownst. I was driving for like 2 weeks. Oh, there's a test you're supposed to take with this. Oops. But my point being, and I wasn't in my first accident until we moved back and I hit black ice. Me and about 400 other people in this county were calling the patrol that day. So I think I'm a pretty good driver. I scared the bejeebers out of Pat. As one of our first times we went out together, we went and got some material for here. And I was in the truck and we were on Curtis Street in Delaware and the light was forever. I said, you know what, there's a road that bypasses all this. So I back up the road, I'm going 35 miles an hour in reverse. Pat's sitting over here. I turn on the road. He's like, I went to Vietnam and I never was this scared. But Pat has loaned me every vehicle he has, rides with me anywhere we go. I'm not a bad driver. I'm maybe not as good as I used to be thanks to these blasted things, the glare. But we got to have patience. Your reputation is shot because nobody's got anything good to say about you. They don't see what you do. They don't know who you are. This person never would identify who told her that. And it was a total lie. It was a total fabrication. So I'm not going to worry about what people think. I'm going to do what God says to do. I'm going to live my life loving people. We're not going to get into tough love today. I did not get anywhere near where I thought I was today. Ecclesiastes 7:8. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Long-suffering patience is the basis of humility. If you don't have patience, don't tell me how humble you are. Don't even start to tell me how humble you are if you get bent out of shape. Every time there's something comes up and bah, Mount Vesuvius here. Proverbs 15:18. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. He puts it aside. He puts it away from him. This can also be a foundation of a community. Why do you... That's what's wrong with our political system right now. We have got people stirring contention all the time. And they're all guilty. I'm just going to put it that way. They are all guilty of it. Every last one of them. I don't care if I voted for them, I didn't. I don't care if I like them, I don't. They're all guilty of stirring contention. You need to put that away. So many people today are getting caught up and they're living in their life by CNN, by Fox, by CBS, by ABC. Knock it off. As long as they keep you wound up, you will never hear what God is truly saying. Well, I got to go to this meeting about what's actually going on in Washington, D.C. Let me tell you what's going on in Washington, D.C. Same things that went on in Rome before it fell. That's why I had him teach that last week. I wasn't supposed to be here last week, but we were going to go away for a three-day weekend. But since the little incident, I thought, well, I don't think I can drive 3 hours, and I'm not going to enjoy my time, so why waste it? We'll go in the spring. But as long as we, the body of Christ, keep listening to the outside influence all the time, it's good to know information. And I don't care if GodTube, Godvine, or whatever, put it on there. Be careful. They all bait you. Every last one of them will bait you. They know how to get you wound up. And then when you read the story, you're like, I never saw this. If you're listening to God, be patient. There's nobody, as Joe said last week, there's nobody who's ever been in authority that God didn't know they were going to be there. God knew Hitler was going to be there. God knew what Hitler was going to do. But what did God also know that Hitler and the United States and nobody else knew at that time? That in 1948, Israel would become a nation once again. And Israel had become a nation before Jesus Christ returns. You following? None of it. God knew it was going to happen. We have got to trust God. We have got to listen to God. Don't go getting bent out of shape. Well, look at all the... I don't know if I could call he, she, whatever. You know what? Don't back down. Ma'am, may I open the door? Oh, you don't want me to? Okay, that's fine. Don't get bent out of shape about it. But I told my boys, I said, here's the deal. I said, if we're going into a restaurant or a store... Your mother should never touch the handle if you're with her. And there's times my boys went, slow down, Mom, slow down. I got to get to the door. We've lost a lot of that. And a lot of it we lost because women, well, I'm a woman. Who do you think you are? I'm trying to show you honor. Not that you're weak. I'm trying to show you honor. I'm going to stop there, but if we will start developing and working on this patience in love, just I want you to pay attention to that. All I got through today was love is patient, and I'm not through that yet. I'm only halfway through what the notes I've got. Because people say, well, love is that feeling you get. Love is not it's more than a feeling. How many of you have missed Boston? Come on. Love is more than a feeling. Oh, I love her. I just feel so good. Well, if I love her, I'm going to stay faithful to her. If I love her, I'm going to tell her. I'm going to show her. I'm going to bless her. Right? We'll carry on next week, but this is where we're starting. And you, You want to know why I'm more interested in teaching you about love than I am world events? The dangers of Islam. Jesus in prophecy. Israel in prophecy. America in prophecy. Because none of that is God. Love is God. I think I would so much rather meet the Creator than deal with the garbage that's going on in the world, because it doesn't bother me. You know, Angela and I, we were talking the other day. We get a lot of opportunities to talk, especially now. But we were talking the other day about when that tree fell on me. I knew instantly I was hurt. But here's what didn't change. I knew God is on the throne. I know my God. And my God was telling me to get up. Get up. And it's not because I'm a tough Marine. Had nothing to do with that. It had everything to do that I know my God is going to make it right. I need you to understand. The only thing that changed, I got a lot of downtime. My body is being forced to rest. I can't tell you that my back is broken. And I realize that maybe you see me moving around up here, you wouldn't guess. But the muscles in my back are telling me, don't do it. Don't overdo it. I can't pick Carter up and hold him. I can tell that I'm hurt. But God has allowed that pain to keep me in check so that I don't overdo it. But I need you to understand, they didn't. When I walked in there with a broken back, they were just a little bit, you could see it on their faces when it came. Oh, yeah, your spine is fractured. Now, what hit you again? A tree limb fell on you? I said, no, a tree fell on me. Yeah, oh, yeah. I put a picture of it on Facebook the other day. Give you an idea, that tree's that big around. And it was 30 feet long. God had his hand on me the whole time. I knew then that God would take care of me, and I know God now God will take care of it. I'm not worried about anything. So don't you worry about it. Yeah. I'm telling you, the way that thing bounced up and went away from me instead of coming back down and laying on top of me, she couldn't have got me out. Justin couldn't have got me out. But God took care of it. And I had to think it was funny that in the end, I got up and I sat down on the very thing that just hurt me. Making my enemies my footstool. I'm not worried because I know God. I don't care about what latest greatest prophecy about the Pope, what latest greatest prophecy about the President and about the Democrats. I don't care about your prophecies. They are in part. I want to know God who is eternal. I want to know God who is love. That's all I care about. So many churches have split because of prophecies, because of tongues, because of end time messages. Do you know what? I do believe Jesus is going to come back before we see great tribulation in this world. I believe if you are a true believer in Christ and you're listening and not being worried, you'll start seeing the things lining up. But we're not worried about that. I'm worried. I want you to know the Creator. I want you to get to stand before Jesus and he says, hey, Brian, good to have you here, man. You know why? Because he's going to look at you and he's going to know. The Bible says we will be known as we are known. We will know as we are known. He's going to say, I know the love. I know the love. I recognize it. Why do you think he told those people in the parable of the sheep and goats? He said, depart from me. I never knew you. I don't know you. You don't know me. You know how I know my sons? Spend time with them. I see myself in every one of my sons. I see their mother in every one of my sons. I know them. I see their attributes. I know their attributes. They know me. And I know they're sitting there as they're getting older, they're thinking, what was that meme I saw the other day? It said, my children laugh at me at the crazy things I do. And it says, I laugh because they don't know it's hereditary. I saw one of my boys. Now, you can ask my family. We call them now board meetings. I'll get into conversations with myself. My eyebrows will move. My eyes. You may not be that bad, but everybody talks to themselves at one point. But I usually do it to defuse a situation that I might escalate. Okay? I go ahead and imagine it the worst it could be. And anyhow, I'm sitting there in my office one day and one of my boys walked by. And he was just going to town on somebody. So I started laughing. I said, I told you it's hereditary. But so is love. Grow in patience. Don't worry about becoming rich. I need you to understand, prosperity is of God. It's not our purpose. Our purpose is to grow in love. Jesus said, all these things I already know you need, and I will provide them as you seek my kingdom. God's kingdom is a kingdom of love, not Cadillacs and Mercs. That's Mercedes for those of you out of the touch. I only know it because I watch car shows. I'm like, man, back in my day, a Merc was a Mercury. All right, let's stand. Don't forget, those of you who got those, pray and ask God who to give it to. So Lord, lead me to somebody to give this to them. Like I said, there's $20 in there for them. It's cash. It's not a check. And I gave it to you because I trust you. There's a little note written in there and talking about Jesus, and we thank them, and we also invite them to the church. So, like I said, feel free to give that out, except to one of the four of us. You can't do that. I had somebody do that. I'm like, dude, that's not what I wanted you to do. Bless somebody. You don't know who's still hurting. The fact that I still see so many, I'll never forgive Jane Fonda, things come up. There's still some hurting people. They need to know Jesus. They need to find that forgiveness. They will never be free of Vietnam and those memories until they forgive her. So, pray for them. All right, let's pray. Father God, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that you have sent your Son to show us what true love really is. That in spite, in the fact that he was here, he lived with people, he was betrayed by a human being, he was beaten by human beings, he was belittled by human beings. Father, that in spite of all that, he still chose to give his life for human beings. Lord God, I thank you that as we get to know you, we will grow. Our love will grow. We will become like you. We will be slow to anger. We will be wise. We will give mercy. Father, I thank you that as this relationship grows, we continue to grow mighty. That the devil looks to us and says, I know who you are. Because you look like him. Father, I thank you for these people. Lord God, I bless each and every one of them. Father, I pray that as they go this week to their jobs, to their homes, whether they're traveling or whatever they do, Father, I pray that your Spirit will go with them, will move in their lives. Father, and that they will continue to walk victoriously in Jesus' name. Amen.